We're going to call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Anderson, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers, and Barnard. Gronewald will be absent all day. First thing on the agenda is a general, on the consent agenda, is a general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held March 10th. Approve all claims through March 24th. In the amount of $382,522.35. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve permit 851 for Windstream Communication to replace a bad communications facility at East 4 Highland Township. Approve permit 852 for Windstream Communications to install communications facility at IN 29 Rockford Township.
I'd move the approval of the consent agenda.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Fleece. Discussion.
I'd like to.
Matt.
I'd like to have pulled off for consideration later, as it's an agenda item, the land contract option for $5,000. It's a separate agenda item.
A separate agenda item?
It's on. It's in the claims list, but the, on the agenda item, that's down there.
Oh, I gotcha.
That would be, yeah, that needs to be taken up.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll just all of them in lieu of that. I guess I'd like to have that one pulled just because we'll consider it later.
Okay. Approve the consent agenda with the exception of the land contract, which will be pulled over to the regular agenda, which it is an agenda item. Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 in favor. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Marlon, you're up. Highway Superintendent report.
Starting that, I didn't put anything on zoning, but we are planning on having a meeting in April to discuss the wind energy regulations and get our thoughts together so we can get it to the consultant. And moving on to the agenda, we have received the Highway Superintendent's recommendation to approve or disapprove a resolution changing road classification in Barnson Township. It's in your packet. Copy of my study. Several years ago, they had it changed the minimum maintenance, and since then, there's been some tree removal along there. And there's a landowner down there that has building site there. There's no residence, but he wants access to that building a little more. And they did cut a lot of the trees. So there's my recommendation. I recommend to approve it. And there's a resolution behind that. So.
I would so move, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Anderson, seconded by Fleece to approve resolution number 10-08. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve.
So the next one is approve or disapprove resolution appointing Marlon Cleaver as responsible charge for project number BRS-3265, Unit 5. NDOR control number 12299, that's in Wymore Bridge.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Moved by Anderson.
Second.
Seconded by Fleece on resolution number 10-09. Discussion. Vote.
Mr. Chair, a little discussion.
Dave.
Okay, thanks. Correct me if I'm wrong, Marlon. I think we visited since Monday, and some of us were at the Monday committee meeting. Things have, I think, changed a little bit there. First of all, we need to get a responsible charge named on this because the state won't let us go ahead and acquire the final right-of-way, which is the railroad, the old railroad right-of-way right by the Wymore Bridge. So we've got to get somebody named. We talked about a possible another person. Galen was mentioned, or hiring somebody part-time or something. And we were talking about a RC training class that was going to be held here very, very soon. Well, apparently that class has been canceled, and the next RC class is in July.
June and ending in July. So
June, late June to July, like a 10-day training. So we need to be at least thinking about that. If we get a whole lot of projects going, it seems like we might need to have a backup for Marlin, and that's for this body to decide, but we'll see how the workload goes. But if we have several of these federal aid projects, there's just an unbelievable amount of paperwork that now that Nebraska is in full compliance with the feds, it's like tripled the paperwork. Some of you probably read Rex Behrens as a city engineer's article in the paper. I mean, there's incredible frustration at all levels with the amount of paperwork and hoops you got to jump through and all that. So we just need to be aware of that and consider. So we've got to some degree to July or so. And then, Marlon, I believe you also mentioned that before you can even take the RC training, you have to have, is it 20 hours?
20 hours of National Highway Institute training, online training.
So whether it be Galen or somebody we hire or something, there's a preliminary 20 hours of some sort of training before they can even take the 10 days of the RC responsible charge training, which has to have one for each and every federal aid project now. So, I mean, it's...
Ron asked me to ask Don to survey our comparable counties. Not our comparables or counties. Southeast, Butler, Assistant Highway Superintendent, Cass, Construction Manager, Highway Superintendent, Fillmore, Highway Superintendent, Jefferson, Highway Superintendent, Johnson, Road Secretary, Lancaster, County Engineer's Office, Nemaha, no Highway Superintendent, Clerk is the RC, Odo, no Highway Superintendent, two Road Foremen took test, Pawnee, Highway Superintendent, Saline, Highway Superintendent, Saunders, Public Works Director, Seward, Highway Superintendent, Fair Assistant Highway Superintendent. So
yeah, that's good information.
Yeah.
I'd also question, and maybe Friday at the Southeast District meeting we can find out. I would speculate that none of those counties have as many federal aid projects on the books as we do. That would be my guess.
We have a lot of bridges.
I think Johnson has one. So thank you for doing that research.
Gary.
I guess the question would be, when we put this responsible charge responsibility on whoever we give it to, I guess maybe Mark could answer, or somebody here can answer, how many more duties does that give them? What does that do to their hours in a week? And if we give it to somebody else, do they expect to be extra compensation? Or exactly how do some of these other counties handle that part of it? Does anybody know that here?
I think those would be very good questions to ask on Friday.
Oh, going up to
the Southeast District meeting.
At some point, there was supposed to be some federal 80% match money.
Is that for time documented spent doing that?
For administrative costs, you can get that 80% reimbursed. I did a little. I called the guy at LTAP, which is a local technical assistance program through the university and the Nebraska Department of Roads, and they're the ones that put on the course. In the back of your packet, there's an email he responded with. Of how many people have been trained, what kinds of people they are, just what he's seeing out there. The discussion Monday, you know, about appointing Galen, and I mean, that'd help, but we're having another person on the crew, one of the foremans, I can't mention names, but he's because of HIPAA, probably going to have somebody having back surgery this spring yet, so we're going to be short of foreman. On the cost and independent cost estimate and scope of services on the Barnston project, it's a 90 working day project. Estimated time for an RC is 5.2 hours a day, so that includes travel time. So it's.
Gary?
Marlon, you have somebody, when you have one of your foremen, if something happens, or like in this instance, you have somebody that's trained up enough to step in and do their job, or does Galen kind of go that way and help, or how do you handle that?
Well, every time the highway superintendent's left, for whatever reason, Galen stepped in, and he's a good person, but there's no way that position can know all the strings attached to all these projects. It's just impossible.
We looked at the RC person designated primarily to be the one with some experience in. When you go down to look at a project like a bridge, at least you know it's a bridge.
Right.
And can at least look at plans and know it. We would not expect office staff.
No, and I never proposed that.
So. They would do the paperwork right. and stuff that would be involved with it and at least be aware of that. So it isn't all that this has to be done by whoever is the AC.
I sent you a copy of the requirements for the filing system on email one time, and I think there's like 6 or 7 pages of
when the
how
feds,
you got to have them files.
When the feds say it takes 5.3 hours to do something, or whoever says that, I think it'd be more realistic you divide it by two.
Mr. Chair,
Steve,
I like this last paragraph in this email. Probably something we might consider. This individual from the state recommends that there be two teams of two people, one each from the field and one from the office staff, to become qualified as RC. And then RC staff, and that, you know, you'd have some backup, you'd have some redundancy, you would have some paper or shovel or computer savvy people, you could have a foreman or somebody train up that would know what a bridge looks like. So to me, that's a good recommendation, but we can work on it down the road.
But up until now, though, those two people, no matter if it's one or two, we won't be able to get them qualified until June or July. So
yeah.
he's got.
In the meantime, we got to.
He's got to be the
point man.
Keep
loading it on his back, I guess. So.
I gave you all a copy of the resolution, so if you read that completely through, it tells you all the rules.
Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 in favor.
I called Rex yesterday morning, and after the meeting Monday night, I tried to get hold of Dave, and couldn't. I don't know why. But anyway, we put it on the agenda for discussion, and if there wants to be any action, but I give you each a spreadsheet of what the gravel costs, what the rock costs from each entity, and how much they would lose per mile if they wanted to switch to rock. I took the cheapest bid on rock. We got bids from three different quarries. And so you can see some of them, you know, only lose, you know, 7/10 of a load. Some of them lose up to 2.5 loads. So there's quite a. Oh, there's another guy. I didn't even see him coming. And so Rex and I decided to put it on the agenda just in case you wanted to discuss it, or we discussed it at Road and Bridge, and we probably.
I personally think we need to make it available and let them choose if they want the rock money difference. Loss of gravel.
As long as it's a dollar for dollar switch,
right.
It should be budget neutral.
Yeah.
And I think Matt sent an email too that, you know, might be something we'd want to consider in the future. We don't have to do that today, but and we did contact some of the guys that were interested just so they can listen to this discussion, I guess. So.
Matt.
So your average then for 6 loads per mile is about $3,500 then.
Well, on the gravel is the last one.
No, but okay. I'm looking at rock though.
Okay, yeah.
Gravel, you're looking at an average probably $2,500.
Right. And I was a little high when I told you 3,000, Matt, on gravel, because it's not quite that high.
Chairman. Matt.
Well, the email I sent was to Dave and to Marlon the other day, and I mentioned it the other night at the annual township meeting, was maybe we consider, based on the historic weather we've had, make a one-time commitment to the township and say we're going to, because the general consensus was enough product on the road. What can we do for 1 year and say we'll give you an extra mile to put where you want for this 1 year? And I just threw that out there. I thought about that. You know, roughly $3,000, probably high end. Is there some way we can do that? Not committing to changing the allotment long term, but recognizing we had something happen that just doesn't happen all the time. And so I just threw that out as a discussion. Didn't want to contact all the board members via email, so I thought I'd talk about it today in open session. So,
Mr. Chairman?
Gary?
I kind of agree with Matt. If we can find that in the budget, I think that would help our rural friends quite a bit. I do have part of Riverside Township, so I have some rural area also. And after the meeting the other night, it seems to me, at least in my personal opinion, is if these townships want to do that, if they want to substitute that, I don't know why we should object to that. It's a form of government that we have in the county. It's township form, and we had a good turnout. They were well represented, and if they want to make some substitutions, it's the roads they live on and the roads they use. So I don't have an objection to it.
Danny?
I'm very, very much support in doing this. I think the townships work very hard in taking care of their farm to market, if you will, and I think we ought to support this if there's any way possible that we should do that.
Dave?
I would recommend just a simple motion saying that dollar-dollar substitution rock for gravel can be made in the current allocations. I think that would encourage that as a motion. But as a follow-up comment, we didn't talk about the other night. We have in many of the past years, and we kind of, at least I forgot to bring it up, and I discussed it with Marlon a bit this morning. We've had for several years a understanding and announced that what townships sometimes need to do is actually build up entire miles of road. In fact, if you've got close to 40 miles of gravel or improved rock, improved roads, it would seem like you need to regrade, and I'm talking clear the right-of-way of brush, get the greater ditches up, and our policy has been that if you would regrade that whole mile, that we would rock up to 2 miles, 1 to 2 miles per year as demanded. Now, that word, for some reason, hadn't gotten around much. We've talked about it at several of the past meetings, and I think that's what was referred to, this two-mile allocation. But keep in mind, spot rock has been unlimited for a number of years, and it has to be in a spot that has ruts, and the highway department has to prove it. It just can't be, you know, you can't go in and do spot rock on a whole mile. But in addition to the unlimited spot rock that we've always had for a number of years, there is this option that if you really want to upgrade and what we would call rebuild a whole mile of road, that we would also stand that, again, with county approval if our budget allowed. Now, this year we're stretched unless we all approve, you know, extra money out of inheritance or whatever. But would really encourage that, because if you don't rebuild a mile or two of road every year, pretty soon you're 40 years down the road and you still got silted in ditches and you got plum thickets, you know, making it tough for vehicles to get down the roads. And
Dave, we need a motion.
Yeah. So
I would move that we approve.
Oh, he did.
He said he put promotion. You want to go dollar for dollar?
Yes,
substituting?
That was motion with a lot of backgrounding, I guess.
Yeah. I would move that the county board approve that.
Dave already did.
Oh.
Okay, and then we can continue the discussion.
It's a dollar-for-dollar substitution was the key of our motion.
Okay, so we have the second. As long as the policy is being opened up, I think we need to expand on what Matt has asked for as finance chair, looking into that.
I don't think I'd add it to the motion at this point. I think we need to see what the actual cost would be, but at least as part of being supportive of the other political entity that's out there, look and see what that cost is going to be. Because if we do dollar for dollar, it looks like the miles would be less because rock's going to be more. But if we can pick out 1 year and we can look and see where we're at, I don't want to make a knee-jerk financial decision here, but if we look at it and say, yeah, we can probably float this for 1 year, I think that'll help those roads, and in an instance like you're saying, work with them to get some of those other roads up. I think that's a...
I guess from a historical perspective, Dave, do we even have to do that, or can the township substitute if they want to? Is this something we even have to act on?
We've never done that before. I guess I don't know how it was written, if there's any rules. But
we're cleaning. It's okay. A house cleaning deal to make sure we're legal on it is what it amounts to.
I think there probably is merit, though, because in taking action, we're telling folks this is dollar for dollar. It's not mile for mile. So I think there's merit in doing that and saying if you're going to go to rock, you'll get less miles, but the dollar amount will be the same just based on a budget.
Well, and that would also give them an option to look at priorities as where they want to spend that rock, too.
And they don't have to go to, they can have any combination they want.
But again, if the townships are, each and every one of them, aware that there's this, you know, you hate to say unlimited, but that's really what we've been doing, unlimited spot rock if it's proved needed. And some townships have been very aggressive doing that, and other townships, quite frankly, have been very lax. And that's their choice. I mean, you know, some townships are more on the ball than the others. That's just a matter of fact. That if everybody gets aware of that policy, plus the idea of this mile or two of rebuild, they may not feel the need to substitute rock for gravel as much as they do. I mean, it's just so everybody knows what the ground rules are, and I think that's, and you have new members come and go, and, you know, the association would be nice if they had a newsletter, or if we even had a newsletter to the township so everybody could see it in writing and get up to snuff. And there's probably more that we could be doing in terms of communication. But.
Marlon.
A couple things. If we figured, you know, just to give you an estimate, and I gave Matt that estimate earlier, it was 3,000, but it ain't that much. It's 20, probably average of 2,500. But if you figured 3,000, that'd be $72,000 if you added a mile for a year. Just to give you something to think about. Another thing on the rock, on any time a township or a developer develops a mile, takes a dirt road and develops it, we do supply rock for that, and the developer will supply half. If it's a township doing it on their own, we rock it and get the base set up, you know, for them. So,
and that would be the policy Dave is talking about, the 1 to 2 miles a year.
Yeah, and
so they'd be bringing it up to standard,
right,
from
right.
Dirt. Be the same thing.
Yeah,
from dirt,
yeah,
to
so
improve.
Matt.
And I guess the townships and probably the county too, if we're going to go to a lot more rock on the road as a public service, it's probably worthwhile to let people know if you can see the air through your tires, it's time to get some new ones. These tires, you know, there'll be a lot of conversations about rocks tearing up my tires, but I think it's just part of the process. You got to improve those. So
that needs to be open.
Have to leave the door open.
Question.
Call for the question. We got a motion to call for the question. Vote 6-0 to proceed. So, Don, you want to read the motion back?
Do you want me to turn my tape layer on? Basically, from what I understand, Anderson motioned by our second to substitute dollar for rock instead of gravel. Is that correct?
Okay. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Marlon?
moving on down my list. Working with Manelli Wagner right now because the state did approve them as the CE for the Barnson South project. We have to get a cost estimate. Cost estimates, scope of services in ICE, which is an independent cost estimate from them. For the CE work on that project, so we're working on that. The Inlymore one, we did that. Now, I'll have some site manager training in May 11th and 12th. In the meantime, the state NDOR guys are going to help me because this stuff's got to all be entered into their mainframe computer, and that's what they train you on. So, the next thing is bring to your attention in your packet is a request from Midland Township to exchange some miles, and you have a map behind the request. The one in real dark black marker is the ones they're willing to take over, and the ones that are circled is the ones that they want to give to us. So this is just to bring to your attention. They sent this in a while ago, and I think I brought it up once. We were just going to think about it for a while. As far as the highway department, I don't see a problem with it. I think we'll have to work out an interlocal and resolution to do it. So probably try and get that on the next agenda. So.
Okay, motion on...
I don't think that was
yeah, it's not on the
it's
it,
not on
it
there,
didn't
okay.
make it the agenda this week, I guess.
Now we got to do an interlocal, so
okay.
We'll do that.
I think it's a good idea. I think the traffic flow dictates it. I think, Marlon, we asked you if Jim wanted to come talk, so I think, Jim, if you want to discuss that a little bit.
Jim Engel, Midland Township. We proposed this late last fall, early winter, to Marlon. We realize we've had a lot of complaints on Sergeant Road. Sergeant Road is one of the most heavily traveled gravel roads probably around. It catches a lot of traffic coming into town from the north and the east, and just from being around the neighborhood. I know there's a lot of traffic that comes in, even from 19th Street, coming from east of town, going out to Walmart, that will, for some reason, I don't understand it, bypass Dorsey and go out to Sergeant Road and go down a rough gravel road to Sergeant Road to Highway 77, which I don't understand, but there's people that do it that live in the city. So I realize there's a lot of complaints, and that's the reason I proposed this to Marlon. And it's an off-road for us due to the fact is that we've got to travel at least a mile to get to that road, pick up the blade. And the county's used to it. You know, they do a lot of traveling from mile to mile to mile, but to keep our operators halfway efficient and keep the hours on, down on the machine and everything else, it's nice if you can put the blade down and patrol. So it would include 13th Street there, which is a half mile, and then the mile of Sergeant, which is actually a short mile because the city owns just the west end of it up to the building site from 77 up to those buildings there. So it's actually just a little bit short of a mile.
The only concern I had, Jim, was we need to notify the neighborhood that that's no longer county maintained on the roads we're swapping. I think swap's a good deal, but I think we need to make the public aware the road switch is, you know, going to be township responsibility in those two areas instead of county. And I'm not quite sure to know how to do that except the resolution. And
well, could this, the township and Marlon both notify who they need to?
Yeah. Just by, there yeah, won't yeah be it's many. A joint effort.
And just,
but I'm just yeah, that was a concern I had, though, Matt.
The county road that we would be overtaking, there's only two residents on it, the mile and a half of county road. The mile and a half of the township road that the county would be maintaining there is
multiple.
Four.
Yeah.
You know, so we're not talking about a large number of people. I think there's one or two on 13th Street. I guess there is three, the Craigs, Sadoff, Brett Wells, and so there's four or five, I guess, on the Sergeant Road.
Okay.
I know the price of postage just goes up all the time, but I would think 2 1-mile fine, but a lot more people probably use it than what lives right next to it. There might be somebody within a 2-mile radius, and I would like to see basically at least a 2 miles. I mean, when you go out to close a road, you got to contact people to close it to let people know what you're doing. I would think that 2 miles would be a much more realistic circle as to who might use that road. And I would like to see basically a joint letter both from Marlon and yourself go out to those people and say, as of this date, this road now becomes a township road, or this road now becomes a county-maintained road. So at least they're notified of it. You know, I mean, it's, you're not looking at many, many letters, you know, involved. And
I don't have a trouble with it. I don't think there's going to be any improvement or any
change
but in the quality people, of the road or in the upkeep of the road.
At least the people that are being affected by the road, at least they know if they do have a problem, they at least know who to contact. You know, that no longer you'll have to get up in the middle of the night and go fix something over there, then Marlon has to do it, see.
If you're talking 2 miles in the city of Beatrice, is right.
Well, yeah, use a little judgment, Marlon. Jeez, criminy.
You know,
put a roadblock up on something that just use a little judgment.
I don't think the issue
notify me
on Sergeant Road, rather than writing a letter to 5, 6, 7 people.
Yeah,
we probably get more complaints from non-residents of that road.
That's probably true.
Than we do the residents.
That's probably
so. I think your letters going out to individuals is void. It's non-efficient.
We might, dollar-wise, it might be cheaper to put up a sign.
If you put up a sign, you're going to notify. I know Marlin's secretaries, and God bless them, take a lot of the punishment from the telephone calls that this is a county road, and this is a poor road, and it's poorly maintained and everything else. Well, they've got no recourse because it is a township road. And if there would be a sign posted there, county road maintained by the county operators or whatever the case may be, is going to be more effective of notifying people than a 41-cent postage. More expensive? Sure. Yep. But it's going to get more people that are doing the calling in to Marlin to complain, because probably those 6-7 people that call in to complain, I would say probably have maybe never called in. I know 9 of them, probably 9/10 of them. There's a 1 person, 2 persons that I do not know on that road. You know, I usually ride burn permits or whatever the case may be. One person's a firefighter, another person's a classmate, you know. So I know them all. Very few of them are the people that call in to complain. It's the residents, it's the other people that are using the road that, you know, aren't going to understand.
Marlon.
This is another point that we maintain East Dorsey Road that goes out by Bear Creek, and that's 1/2 mile from Sargent, so it's not out of the way for us really to take that over. So.
Okay, good. Thank you, Jim.
Can I make another comment about the rock? I didn't. It's kind of passed now a little bit. The unlimited spot rock is always been limited. You know, it has always been offered to the townships. It's a good thing. What a lot of the townships have trouble with, ourselves included, is that for the road to qualify as spot rock needed, the standard always been has to be a 2-inch rut. The loss of the base is allowing the rut to become available or be made. That is an issue sometimes, because once our operator says, hey, there's a rut in this road, and myself or one of the other board members go out and visualize it and say, yes, it is needing spot rock, and we are required to flag it, which is a challenge sometimes, frozen ground, no shoulders on the road, or whatever the case may be. Somebody's shredding the flags up. Marlin goes out and checks it after that. Sometimes that can be a day, sometimes a couple days. So after our patrol operator has notified us, he's not supposed to do anything with that road, leave the rut there for 2-3 days, and then go back because maybe it's been checked, maybe it hasn't been checked. So the unlimited spot rock has always been there, but it's a challenge for the board and for the operator to take advantage of. You know, Dave made the statement that it's always, we don't take advantage of it. Sometimes it's hard to take advantage of if our operator is on their road there, he wants to go ahead and patrol it, but then Marlin comes out and, well, he sees no rut. A few years ago, we had that exact same timing where our operator was there. He pulled up, we flagged it. It was a couple days before Marlin got there. We went ahead and flagged it. They got there. Our patrol went by. Road was shredded. Rock was put in the wrong place.
What would be a solution, Jim?
I don't know.
And I don't look just at ruts. I look and see if there's a windrow there, see if it looks like dirt. I mean, if I go up to a place and there's a foot tall windrow there of gravel, then and there's no ruts, I'm going to deny it. But I very seldom deny any rock.
And you can tell if the road color's black or whether it's gravel colored. I mean, there's lots of cues that you look for. So.
But we do get it in the wrong place sometimes.
And that's happened a couple times, but that's not the biggest complaint. But if the standard is we have to have a rut, do we say that we go ahead and flag it and then patrol it and then take the chance that you're not going to approve it, even though there was a rut there before the patrol went by?
Well, it's like I said, if I see a windrow there, or if there's no windrow there, I'll normally okay it. So.
Okay. And the completely rebuilding the road, 2 miles, mile, that's not within a lot of our budgets. You know, it sounds like an easy task, inexpensive task, but to completely clean out a ditch, Midland Township's fortunate we have a high evaluation just due to the part of the city that we cover and some of the industrial park and the area. So our budgets may be a little bit stronger than what some of the other townships are, but for a township to go and to clean out a road, it's not in their budget. The only way that can usually happen is if the county's looking for dirt and the county comes out there and cleans the ditch out for the dirt. But then we take a lot of complaints from the landowners that who's going to receive it. I've been there.
No, sure.
So
thanks,
Jim.
Okay, Marlon, what else?
Moving right along here, we got a spring construction workshop and safety meeting next Wednesday. It's in conjunction with NERMA and Jefferson and Saline County coming over. Probably won't see very many motor graders out on the road that day. Then the only other thing...
Marlon, is that made available to the township grader operators also?
I don't think so. We'd be,
can it be
way too full.
Okay.
We get three road departments in there, and it's...
Okay.
When was the last time we had... Was it 2 years ago we had the countywide training,
school.
Motor grader school, LTAP?
Yeah, it probably was.
So the state does provide training for both county and township operators periodically.
Moving right along on the budget, you can see there on my front page of the report, our line item on rock after the last two vendor claims is $129,158.06 over. We have another $63,795 in claims for the next vendor period, so we're approximately $200,000 over on the rock already. On blades, we're about $9,200 over. Parts, we're going $5,300 over. Tires, we just have about $700 left with about 3 months left in the budget year, so just bringing them to your attention.
What is your fuel line item done?
Fuel is, it's okay. I think we're at, I got my budget here somewhere. I think it's got like 37% left in it.
There's still a somewhat of a balance yet for gravel. What's their gravel?
180,000 balance in there. So when we get started, we might make it on that because the time we get started, get them bills paid, that might be close to the next budget.
So there could be a little surplus there, depending upon what happens between now and then.
I wouldn't say surplus.
Well,
I say
you only give us the bad news. Yeah.
We still have the spring allotment to haul, so that's
right. That's why I ask, you know, of that balance you have left, you know, how much of that looking at?
It's probably, I think, I'd have to refigure it. I haven't done it on this year's price yet, but I think it takes around 300 and some thousand to do just the township allotment in the spring and in the fall.
That's what we had in the budget, basically, what, 350, I think?
Yeah. Well, we had 650 in there, but...
What else, Marlon?
I think that's it. Any questions? I got you them nice maps, so you can read them now. They're only 18 cents a piece on our copier, plus the paper, so.
Okay. Jim Spangler, Gage County Tourism Quarterly Report.
Hello, Chairman Adams. How are you?
Good.
I think you all got my quarterly activities in your packet. so I won't necessarily touch on those too much. I did put a few things in advance in March, since I am going to be attending the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast. A couple of tourism things that I need to point out to you. We did have a basketball tournament here in town the last weekend of February that brought 34 teams to the county, and we figure about 500 people out of town came. So some of the teams I know stayed at local motels, and just about everybody ate at our restaurants. So that was good.
Where did some of those come from? Area.
Yeah, Fall City. We had actually a team up from Wichita, Kansas, Marysville, Lewiston. I would say Fall City, Wichita are the two that were the furthest away. The others were probably within driving distance. We hope to expand that tournament. We just this is our fourth annual one, but we think that we can expand on that. And the team from Wichita was very, very pleased and happy, and they intend to tell other teams down in that area in the future. Okay.
Two-day double elimination?
It was a one-day tournament this year. We were able to get 34 teams all in one day, and some of the teams liked that, but from a motel standpoint, you know, a multi-day event would be even better. Something I want to, and you probably have seen this, but I'm very, very excited about. The governor, Heineman, announced some grant approvals. There were a total of 90 applications that they had received for grants from different tourism entities, and we were 36 out of the 90 that were approved for a grant. And it was for $3,443. Basically what the grant was, we have our main tourism brochure here that we use, but it's outdated, and some things don't exist anymore, some things have changed, and we're going to put new pictures and new verbiage and new information in that, and that will help us out a lot. There was a portion of the grant where we were going to update our website, and that part of it was turned down, but we were approved for the bulk of it, which was great. And then last thing I just wanted to mention was Paula Bohati from the State Tourism Department had been in contact with quite a few bus companies around the nation and had a chance to get some feedback on what they're looking for in the way of bus tours and that. And they're very interested in a lot of things on the Blue River, really. I guess tanking is quite popular now, going down the river and sitting in just a livestock tank. You know, you get on your get in your beach chair and have your beverage of choice and tank down the river. So you never know what's around the corner, but also hunting and fishing were big requests of a lot of the tour companies as well, and that would definitely be an area where we could fit their needs. So I'm in the process of trying to contact some of those bus companies where I feel if we can help them that we could do that. So unless you have any questions for me on that, we can move on to the other stuff.
Denny.
Well, just a question that I haven't asked, but I always have it in my own head, Jim. As I travel around the state or outside of the state in the bordering areas, I see racks of materials advertising various communities and what have you, and I never see Beatrice's in there. How are those distributed? And I just got a tourism booklet from the state last week, and we didn't have any ad in there, and most of the communities in the state similar to ours did have ads. How's that done?
Well, as far as the distribution, there is once a year, and I think it's coming up in May, called a brochure swap. This year it's out in Hastings, and everybody brings a large supply of all their brochures, and then everybody trades with that. Now, so you're kind of a little bit at their mercy, I guess, of who puts things out. Now, we do also have a contract with a company, as far as in Lincoln, of putting a rack card that we produced in all the motels up there. So I think we're pretty well covered up in Lincoln as far as that. But as far as outstate and other places of distribution, we're kind of a little bit at the mercy of whose they stick out and that sort of thing. As I'm longer in my job here and create, you know, relationships with other people, I certainly will go to bat for that, you know, and encourage them to promote our area, obviously.
I see it as close as Grand Island and Kearney. I check it, and we're never.
All right. And that, is that just like in a public place where they would have a large?
Hotels that have them.
Okay.
In public places, yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate that information.
Matt? Okay, approve or disapprove appointing K.J. Patel as member to the Gage County Visitors Bureau Board?
Okay, I'll have K.J. come up here.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm K.J. Patel. I've been a general manager here at the Victorian Inn.
Thank you.
We've been living here for about 3 years. Or longer, and growing as well. We have the Victorian Inn, and we've grown and had converted the old Beatrice Inn to the Traveler's Lodge. And now this year we just opened the End Zone Sports Bar, which is converted from the old restaurant. So we're very proud of Beatrice, and we're investing a lot in the city as well. And I'm proud to be here serving for the CVB board.
Yeah, as you remember, unfortunately, about, gosh, two or three months ago was all we had appointed and you had approved Cindy Rickenberg to the position, and she unfortunately had to move out of town, and so that created a vacancy. And by state statute, we're required to have two people from the hospitality industry on our board, and so the CVB board is recommending to you that KJ be appointed to replace Cindy on the board.
Okay. I would move to approve KJ Patel as a member of the Gage County Visitors.
Moved by Myers.
Second.
Seconded by Fleece. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Thank you. Okay, approve or disapprove Visitors Improvement Fund grant of $10,000 to the Beatrice Bullet for facility improvements?
Okay, the CVB board recommended approval of a $10,000 grant from the Visitors Improvement Fund to the Beatrice Bullets for improvements to the Westcott Street ball fields. And Lenny Magnall from the Bullets organization's here in case you have any specific questions about the project.
Any questions?
Give us a little background, if you would, just.
I think they host a lot of tournaments and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
I have, if you wish, I have a little bullet list here, of, and then some
appreciate
picture
it.
Of what we're planning on doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I should leave some here for sure about where she's going.
So I guess the background of or the Bullets are a select baseball team that is here in Beatrice. Not just Beatrice kids. We have kids from surrounding communities that are involved in our teams as well. The improvements that we're looking to do not only affect us, but they also affect several hundred youth that are involved in the YRI League here within Beatrice, as well as softball. Each year, baseball and softball sponsor two tournaments each. Each one of those tournaments in the past has brought in, I would say, conservatively 10 teams. The first year the Bullets did it, had theirs. We had 10 teams all together for a one-week tournament. The second year we did it, we had 10 teams each week. So we certainly plan to, we certainly believe that's going to continue to grow. We've gotten great feedback. One of the lower feedbacks, I guess, that we've got has been on some of the facilities. Our tournament is in late June, so it's quite hot. Dugout shelters, the covers are something that's pretty standard anymore for tournaments such as these to get these teams to come in. It's pretty competitive to get teams to come to your tournament. So you can do it one of two ways. You can either make your tournament extremely cheap and you make no money, and that's one of our major fundraisers, or you compete with the Lincolns, the Grand Islands, the Omahas on facilities and how you run your tournament. And that's something that I think as far as how we've ran the tournament, we've had great success. With these facility improvements, it'll help us compete on that second level as well.
Need a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Anderson. Discussion? Vote. 6-0 to approve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Approve or disapprove, where am I at? Visitors Improvement Fund grant of $20,000 to Beatrice Rotary Foundation and Veterans Memorial Park Sculpture Project.
Yes, the Convention and Visitors Bureau Board recommends approving this $20,000 grant from the Visitors Improvement Fund. June Seitz is here representing the Beatrice Rotary, and so if you have any particular questions on that project, she will be glad to answer them.
A little background.
A little background?
Yeah.
Well, I think all of you are aware where the Beatrice Veterans Memorial Park is located. The project started in 2002 and was dedicated in 2005. The Visitors Improvement Fund has been involved in that project previously, and that was when we were working on the sculpture for the World War II soldier. And we did receive a $15,000 grant from you for that purchase of that sculpture. What we are doing now is, you know, initially when the park was, plans were put together, we were hoping to do a total of 5 sculptures in the park. And this is the final piece in addition to continuing to put veterans' names on the wall. We have actually now, I think we're on the 11th wall, which is one of the inside walls of the star. And so names continue to come in constantly. I think Verdella has probably one plaque ready to go up on the wall shortly. This, we were looking at, we have received a request from the Kiwanis Club to essentially look at something for a more designated toward youth, a sculpture in that area. And also we were seeing a major commitment from our own National Guard, which the National Guard is a lot of young soldiers. And so we really wanted to target something that was more along the line of youth. And I only brought one copy. I apologize. I will pass this around. But when we did some searching as far as were there existing sculptures out there that, you know, it's much cheaper if you can just have a sculptor that has a mold and you can have him make another sculpture. However, there really weren't a lot that addressed the area that we wanted to focus on. And, you know, we were wanting to recognize a male and female younger youth, present day soldier, I guess let's put it that way, Gulf War forward. And so we essentially commissioned the design of this project so that at the end result of that commissioning is a higher cost for the project. You know, it's a total of $125,000 for the sculpture. The sculptor is Fred Hoppe in Malcolm, Nebraska, and yeah, he's done a lot of sculptor work, and he also was the sculptor for the World War II sculpture that we had received. So we have already deposited with him $50,000 as a down payment, and so we are working to raise the balance of the $75,000, and this will go toward the $75,000, and Verdella and I are busy working on other grants in addition to some local fundraising to get this completed. Okay. So if the fundraising is completed, we hope to have the sculpture in the park in 2011.
Thanks, June. I certainly want to support this. And as in our past veterans from years ago, we do see people coming back. Our youth, they're tore up. Their lives have been pretty well displaced for them, and I think this is something that's really important, and the community has really supported it, and it's a beautiful place, as we all know, and I just hope the board will see their way to vote for this.
Matt has made a motion to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Barnard. Discussion?
I guess I'm real pleased to see the community involvement here with the Rotary Foundation, different people, the Kiwanis, and
also the city. I mean, the city is really, you know, they help us maintain it, and so we really look after this because we're very proud of this project. And, you know, it's amazing how many people, you know, a lot of my clients, you know, as they come in and say, well, I just drove by Veterans Memorial Park and there's two cars sitting out there. You know, they just see people stopping to look. And the historical walk, I don't know if you've been out there, but it's worth just taking the time to read about the community and the county's history. So we are really proud of the overall project itself.
Just to commend this, it's a very, very powerful monument when you walk by it.
Yes.
Dave?
And I think from the visitors committee point of view, too, which I've just started setting back on again, this park is really becoming an attraction in and of itself, and when coupled with some other things of significance in the community, really leads to the character and the ambience of the community. And if you get enough of these things, you'll pull people in from the Nebraska cities and the Kearneys and even Lincoln for a day trip. And so I think it really does fit visitors committee. Some people may kind of question that link, but people come, they eat meals for darn sure, and sometimes, particularly if they're tied in with ball tournaments, will stay overnight where the motel tax comes from. And that's always the link that we have to justify. You know, somehow or other you have to support that hotel motel industry, and this really fits in that mold.
Denny.
Just a comment, June. I think it's real interesting as I go down to visit my son in Kansas City, and I drive down the street in front of the National VFW headquarters, and I think of our Veterans Memorial Park, which is 10 times better than the National Monument in Kansas City. I think we should be awfully proud.
Any more discussion? 6-0 in favor. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, Jim.
Ron, do you need a point of privilege?
Can I ask a quick question to Jim?
Yeah.
Two things. One, what's the balance in the visitors committee, and how's the revenue, how's the economy affected the cash inflow? Maybe just a quick update, ballpark figures on that.
I think we had, I believe it was like about $69,000 that was available before these approvals, so we'd be down around the $39,000 range, and we have to keep 25% of that available that we can't touch at all times. And as far as the economy, last month it was literally just like $100 or $200 more in lodging tax than a year ago. That was for January, actually.
About how much per year rotates in?
Oh, I see. Probably an average month would be $3,000 to $4,000 a month rotates in. So, $36,000, $40,000.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've got about $133,000 in the improvement fund right now. That is budget remaining of the budget. So,
yeah, some of that's been committed to, you know, previous things that the board has approved that haven't actually been paid out yet. But
well, we paid out $5,600 so far. So
yeah, that was to for the Gage County courthouse lighting. So
we're down about $30,000 available, and that's all pertinent as we talk about the courtrooms and other projects around the county. So.
Thank you.
Approve or disapprove district courtroom renovation project for $67,000 to be taken out of inheritance fund.
We like to bring jolts to this group once in a while. The Friends of the Courthouse had a meeting about, I guess it's been over a week ago now, and they did receive their estimates from Schottler's in regards to what it would take to renovate or redo the 46 ceiling squares in the district courtroom. There's 46 of those, and there's 26 side portions of that district courtroom that would also be restored. So you're looking at somewhere close to 82 different fixtures up there in that ceiling to strip all the paint and stuff off, to restain and do the whole ball of wax. And their cost came in at $67,000. Also, you got to remember, in looking at this, if you haven't been in there recently, just go in there and look to see what it's going to take to have somebody up there looking up, doing most of this on their back or on their shoulders or whatever. It isn't like you can, like Schottler said, they wish they could reverse that and have it where you could do it looking down at it. So it is expensive. But the Friends of the Courthouse, in their fundraising efforts, these were pretty, the list that you see that they would be involved with primarily at this point in time is pretty much anything that deals with the courthouse itself, such as tables, chairs, flooring, the whole ball of wax within that those two courtrooms, which comes to about almost $150,000, which is basically their first goal that they would like to do. They have already raised at this point in time a little bit over $55,000 and haven't even started the big push toward meeting their goals. So the Building Grounds Committee, at their meeting Monday, looking at the list and what could be done, and we felt that the ceiling is basically a part of the courthouse, the courtroom itself, not so much the furniture and stuff, but at least the courthouse itself, and that's why we had recommending the $67,000 that would come out of inheritance and would be our responsibility, and the Friends of the Courthouse would then be responsible for those items you see listed on the left of this estimate.
Mr. Chairman.
Gary.
Ron, is the $67,000, and I've talked with other board members before too, some of that, we knew that we had a responsibility to do some of the walls and do some of those things. Is that part of this, some that
no.
we knew we had responsibility for anyway?
No.
Or I guess that we had planned, I guess is a better way to say it.
No.
This is above and beyond.
You see, our first initial plans, what we were planning to do, you wouldn't have saw the ceiling.
Right.
We had a suspended ceiling. And that's when we decided that we would spend the $46,000 to not do that, put that in, and then come back 2 or 3, 4, 5 years later now and tear it down and put it back in. Mm-hmm. And that's where we came up with that. But nothing has ever been any original plans or anything to do with
what we're talking about right now.
To do the ceiling, to bring it back to what you see in the county courtroom.
We would have a savings offset of not reinstalling a suspended ceiling. I'm not sure exactly what that dollar amount was, but
it's about $15,000-$16,000.
I would assume we'd had to redone the fire suppression thing at the same time.
More than likely.
That would have been.
Matt.
This is the contractor doing this. This would be Schottler's.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if anyone, I guess just to say the quality of work that they do.
Yeah.
It's immense. It's just amazing the stuff that they can do with wood.
And they probably aren't going to come back and ask us for any more money.
No.
Yeah. In fact, there might be a credit because they did figure in their initial estimate the stuff in between the squares, and that is being taken care of by already existing. So they had kind of, I think in their estimate, said that they would be doing the painting and stuff, but that will be painted and stuff will be done by the contractor. What we've already approved, so there'll probably be a credit. So
that's not an easy place to work.
Huh?
That's not an easy place to work there.
If any of you wanted to, I don't know if you had seen pictures or anything of what they would be doing.
You just walk up and take a look when we're done.
This is email stuff, to you.
They've got samples up there.
Huh?
They've made samples of what the different things
it's up there so anybody could see.
Matt?
I hope this is an appropriate time, but we were talking about inheritance fund. Just to give a little update on where we're at on the inheritance fund, the treasurer's office as well as the clerk, they gave me some numbers here just the other day. We've spent out of the inheritance line, roughly out of inheritance, about almost $75,000 that was designated specifically for the courthouse renovation. And the other thing is, I think, worthy to note is that after, I believe it, we're in 9 months now, we've received $275,000 back into inheritance. So we've had those dollars come back. So there are some other obligations that we haven't necessarily paid yet that could bring the balance down. If we end up spending what we tried to budget for to around $1 million, it would bring that down too. But specific to the renovation, you know, there's been more come in than what we've actually spent this year just for the renovation alone. The other thing that's interesting to know is that on the interest income for the bond, which is the fund we're not talking about, we've had almost $30,000 come in just on interest income from the bond. So, and there's about $218,000 left on that. So,
how much, Matt?
$218,000 left in the bond. So total, based on what we budgeted before we pay any claims today, would be about $855,000. That was the building and grounds, that's the inheritance, and the, granted, we budgeted $700, doesn't mean we have to spend it. Bond included in that also. So that's just kind of a where we're at now.
I should have made a motion.
I thought you did.
Ago.
You did not. Okay, make the motion, please.
To approve the county participation in $67,000.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion.
Well, I think he mentioned that the Friends of the Courtrooms, whatever the group's called, has already pulled in over $50,000, correct?
Well, I don't think I need it in a motion.
No, I'm just commenting, reiterating, and I believe the goal is in the 150 range. The point being is that the public and the Friends of the Courtroom is going to be doing a substantial amount of the funding of some of the work. We do the ceiling refinishing, but they're actually going to do a lot of the furniture and the other appointments in that room. With a collective effort, it's going to be a really up-to-par place.
Rex?
I guess I think it'd be worthy to note, too, that the Radigan family has always been good to the community on historical things, and they have contributed to that fund, too, I believe. Haven't they, Matt?
I haven't seen it come across.
I believe if they haven't, they're going to.
Oh, yeah. That's the intent.
But they helped kind of get things rolling, too.
Okay. Any more discussion?
Certainly anyone that feels like they would like the opportunity to contribute to Friends of the Courthouse certainly feel comfortable in doing that. Yeah. That would be no problem. I'm certain they would accept your donation.
It is a tax-exempt donation.
There's a fundraising director, isn't there? Okay, any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 in favor. Ron's light gets me every time.
Can I have a point of privilege?
Point of privilege. Let's take a 10-minute recess. Okay. We have 1, 2, 3. We don't have a quorum. We're going to reconvene the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Attendance by observation. Anderson, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers, Barnard temporarily out of the room. Approve or disapprove specs for lawn care fertilization program for county facilities to include courthouse, sheriff's ground, triplex, parkways, and to call for proposals. Need a motion first.
I make a motion to approve specifications.
Motion to approve by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Fleece. Davey?
Good morning. The lawn should be the same as it was last year. We didn't have very much of a lawn in the courthouse yard at this time or in the springtime last year. So it would be mainly sheriff's office, the parkways, the vet's office, and a small part, mainly the west side of the courthouse lawn this year. Just minimal maintenance on the courthouse lawn.
Oh, yeah, I guess I do. It would be just minimal maintenance. Should probably just... Mowing, probably.
Mowing as needed.
When it was needed.
Right.
You're not going to go out and do a lot of fertilizing.
No fertilization or anything on the courthouse yard. The other areas will still get the fertilization.
Are they going to put down annual ryegrass or something like that for cover, or what? Have the contractors said what they're willing to do? Or?
Yes, I have not actually talked to them as far as this spring. There's still going to be quite a bit of traffic on the yard with the windows being put in and stuff. It would be a great idea, I think, to at least for ground erosion control to probably put some rye grass, some type of temporary grass down to keep the soil in place, because they do have a erosion barrier around the yard at this time now to keep everything from going out on the sidewalk. I'll talk to him about that. I think that would be something we could easily do.
Being an Earl May guy, but you can
make it happen. We don't have a sprinkler system or anything, but I think ryegrass could survive this weather to help keep the ground stay put.
If you get it out early enough now. Why don't we just plant dandelions? Those things will grow. That'll prevent
them. Yes, yes. And bindweed, yes. Yeah.
Make the neighbors happy.
Any more discussion?
No, the bids open.
Thistles are grouped.
Bids opened on the 21st. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Thank you.
Approve or disapprove land option payment?
Well, to get discussion started, I would move that we approve the land option payment of $5,000.
Moved by Fleece.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Anderson. Discussion.
Well, the only discussion, I guess, would be, you know, to give you a little bit of a background for at least the two newest members. Rex Shirley, myself, and Gus got together, I guess it was maybe back in November or October of 2008, to look at a site for the jail. In and around Beatrice, we looked at 16 sites at that time. And also, we had had some discussions about when you're looking at a site, you might also we talked about the highway department having limited space out there, that maybe there would be some potential there, whatever location that we would maybe recommend to come back with would have some potential land sites available for that. Like I mentioned, we looked at 16 potential sites back at that point in time and agreed upon one site out here on the west part of Beatrice. Ended up with an option for 16.7 acres of land. We knew the jail would have to have at least, if approved, would have to have at least 6 acres. That would leave us about 10 acres from that point in time. Should sometime in the future we wanted to relocate the highway department, we'd have sufficient room to do that. The site had excellent access as far as I was concerned. We had access to 136, to Highway 4. We had all of the utilities, sewer, water, electrical, available within 300 to 400 feet of the site, a good level site to build on. So there was various opportunities there. So we worked up the purchase agreement, which was approved about this time a year ago. It's a 3-year option. The first year was $5,000, and then each year you'd have the option to renew it for another $5,000 over the 3 years. the amount that we had in the purchase agreement for the 16.7 acres was $10,000 per acre. That's basically where we're at on it.
Ron, question I have. On year three, which would be if it was approved this year, year three next year, and we're not in a position to do anything, does that end on the end of the third year?
We'd have that third year to make a $5,000 option.
Or is there a fourth year? I mean, no, the point of...
We would have to.
I'm in favor of the location, Ron. I believe in it. I spent the time with you on it. Contrary to what people believe, I'm going to go off what people have told me, and obviously they don't like the west side. And I guess I would feel slighted if I was on the west side because of the sentiment directed towards them. Most of the comments I have heard have been negative on it. I guess my concern is I'm not going to vote for it because I don't believe we will be in a position to purchase it within 2 years. And I believe we're just wasting the money down the road. I believe it's an excellent site. Everything you cited is good. And I set in on that acquisition of land. I mean, it wasn't easy finding something that reasonable, that flat, with all the utilities available. But for some unknown reason, the community doesn't accept the west side.
No. That's why it's on the agenda.
Dave?
I think you said it perfectly, and I'll just echo it, that from every common sense point of view, from the dollars and cents, the value, the everything's ready to go, it was a wonderful location. But for whatever reason, it's good enough for the college, it's good enough for the National Guard, but this community has just got a bias against the West Side.
Or ESU.
And
ESU,
yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a government facility. It seems to be a perfect mix. I mean, it fits in with those other government entities. But the public spoke loud and clear, I guess I'm going to have to vote to save the $5,000. If it's a good location 5 years from now when we take up the issue again, literally of either, I mean, the highway barn thing has to be looked at some point. Those facilities are really aging and quite frankly inadequate, particularly the shop building. The jail thing, I think most of us are just saying, hey, let's just let that issue lay dormant for a few years and get the courthouse done, some of those things. But I guess the statement being, as you articulated, great site, great value, best one I think that we looked at of the 16 or so, but there's just a community bias, and you know, you can only push a rock uphill so long, and I think that's where I'm at. I'm ready to quit. I appreciate Ron doing that work and Shirley and getting that option, but I won't be voting for it either, Ron. Sorry.
It
makes the greatest sense.
You either got to make a motion or you make a motion.
That's right.
And you don't discuss it till you make a motion.
Correct.
As somebody had indicated earlier, I won't be here anyway. So I guess it doesn't make any difference to me one way or the other. Who's going to pay the bill no matter what happens. So, but I'm not so sure the site was the reason for the bond being defeated or proposal. I think it had more to do with just times, what it would cost to build it, et cetera, et cetera. But if you ever come to a point in time, people, when you have to have another site, I hope you can find one for that price and with that type of a facility.
I don't believe we will again.
It's going to be very difficult. As I've been involved with enough land purchases for these type of facilities, we looked at it when I was on the city council to buy the landfill out there. Everybody thought we'd be paid for that, $1,250 an acre. You know, but you just go on and on. But anyway, that's my piece.
I just, Mr. Chairman, just want to throw out as part of the discussion, the jail committee met with some local businessmen relative to a prospective opportunity that they would give the county relative to a jail location, and it was covered by the news media. I have had a tremendous amount of positive reaction to that release by the press and to that possibility, and certainly people who say definitely look at that as an alternative as you go forward in the future. So I just thought it was very positive, the reaction that I've gotten, and I just wanted to make a point of that.
Any more discussion? Any more discussion? Vote. against 6-0. There we go. Against.
At least we got $5,000 spent for the courthouse renovation.
There you go. Okay. Approve or disapprove declaring various items as surplus. Need a motion to approve.
What various items are those?
Now, well, that's part of the system that we need a motion to approve before we discuss.
Make a motion.
Okay, I'll move.
Second.
Moved by Anderson, seconded by Bauman. Gus, do you want to touch on it at all?
Well, in brief, over the years, as we transition our cars off the road division and into their various different places in the office we use, and then at some point in time we start getting rid of them. Now, once in a while the assessor's office will take one if it's still got some life left into it, and so we're at the point now where I think they've accumulated at least, I think we have five or six total. We have of course the old vehicle we got from Camp Dodge, Iowa on a kind of grant situation years ago. We've got an 01 Durango that's the assessor used for a number of years, but it needs some work. We have one or two patrol cars, one coming out right now. It's going to be surplus. One that's down to Wymore on surplus right now. We have two. One that's got county attorney working on that. The statute is different for surplus versus unclaimed property. We have a Dodge Maxi van that's just been left there, and they don't want to come and get it, so that'll be under that statute of unclaimed property. And then we have one that it was a stolen car in Omaha. The owner didn't want to waste time to come down and get it, so he just signed the title over to us. So we have that vehicle, and we have good title clean to that now, and Dawn's got that in her office. So we have about five or six vehicles. Besides that, they're starting to take up room over here in the parking lot, and we all know we need space around the courthouse. So I thought it probably behooved the board to start working towards getting something done.
Pretty big word.
I know it. Common spelling, too, as we say in our line of work. So anyway, I think it's about five or six.
Right, who?
Yeah.
Okay, and then also, Davy Jones says we have 76 theater chairs from the district courtroom, three ice cream parlor chairs, and tables. And those would like to be added to surplus also.
This is Dave. The courthouse is having a tornado drill. Please proceed to the ground floor using the middle stairwell. Again, the courthouse is having a tornado drill.
Make a quick
please
motion,
proceed
somebody.
To the ground floor using the middle stairwell.
You know the drill.
Yep.
I move we recess.
Can we
reconvene the Gage County Board of Supervisors? Attendance by observation: Anderson, Adams, Fleece, Byers, Barnard, Bauman temporarily out of the room. Maybe he's Dorothy or something now. Motion on the floor to approve declaring various items as surplus. Any more discussion?
What about the air conditioning? There were some air conditioning units.
Dave was coming.
I think as long as we list them, we'd be okay. I think if you want to add that on the...
I don't see no reason why.
Is it all right, Randy?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's...
And other items as determined by...
There you go.
By chairman and custodian or something.
By the chairman or building grounds.
Yep.
Yep. There you go. By building and grounds committee.
Yep. Any more discussion?
Friendly amendment.
Vote. 6-0 in favor to approve. Anything else for the good of the order, and then we'll do committee reports and then an executive session. So anything else for the good of the order? Committee reports.
Like one item on Road and Bridge Marlin didn't touch on. In fact, I guess our committee said I would bring it forward. Keep people in mind that we are leasing a cat maintainer right now, month to month. The New Holland, we did get some trade-in money, what?
About 40,000.
Almost 38,000 or 40,000 to apply to a new maintainer. So we're leasing that one. Over the last 2 years, Marlin's kept giving us this long-term machinery budget plan, and there is a new maintainer on next year's plan. The only thing that's kind of new information, he would really like to perhaps add a six-wheel drive machine to our fleet, and they'll run 40,000 to 50,000 more than a four-wheel drive. But this last winter snow has really shown they are effective. And if some of you know ag tractors, they're going to front wheel drive, as you're all wheel drive, I guess you call them. And people do say they're efficiencies. So we might be thinking about that. If you have people you want to ask or interview or other people, that is an upgrade that would truly be an upgrade. But I think it's worth taking a look at. They could use it on construction. They'd be more effective in construction and also be good for snow removal. So I think that's the only thing that Marlin didn't cover.
I will be calling a meeting of the Equalization Committee within the next week or two so we can get started on how we're going to handle our protests. And
okay.
If we have any.
Okay, Matt?
Finance Committee, I got some information regarding petty cash fund for the sheriff. Talked about that with Gus a little bit. It doesn't appear to be a huge amount of finance charges. Looks like a month or two that caused some of that, so I don't think the general consensus was probably no merit in changing it, but it's worth looking at. Talked to Dawn yesterday afternoon, sometime in April, get a third quarter expenditure report, hopefully a page or two of where we're at on the budget, just how much we've spent totally throughout where everybody's department is, just as information. And obviously, you know, we'll go through and quantify that. Just because someone used a lot of money at the beginning of the year, they may be lean at the end of the year. It's not good, bad, or indifferent. It's just to give everybody an idea of where we're at. let's see, pretty working with Patty as we start to plan for the budget, and with Dawn, send out letters to folks and about how we're going to move through the budget process. Try to get the final valuation numbers from Patty, or as close to it as we can get, to find out, you know, the big three-word cut. We'll have to see where we're at on that and where we're going to be, or if we can continue to operate pretty good. And then on emergency management, Mark's going to have a meeting tomorrow up in Lincoln, and I'll try to share some of this correspondence. There are potentials to be significant changes in southeast Nebraska regarding the emergency management region that's down here. There was a committee that didn't do things appropriately or in a timely manner. It may affect funding and how FEMA and Homeland Security dollars are funded to us. That will affect our budget. So I'll keep everybody abreast of that. I talked to Mark yesterday afternoon about that. Don't have a lot of specifics. Don't want to preempt anything, but Mark's going to have a meeting tomorrow, I believe, up in Lincoln, and I'll have him keep everybody well informed. As that information comes in, I'll have him send that to everybody. So I think Mark's got a pretty good handle on it. He's got an idea of where he thinks we can change and do things appropriately, but there will be some changes here, and there's some people that probably need to get their hands wrapped a little bit. So, and it's nothing we're doing here. We're doing a good job. You get more people in the pot, sometimes things don't work as smooth as they should. But Mark's going to come with some more information on that, so I'll keep everybody abreast on that. But we're in good shape for the spring storms. Mark's got everything buttoned down. It's just one of those things we do.
But that does point out, when you join these regional efforts, if somebody else drops a ball, sometimes it affects everyone.
And that is, outside of being too preemptive, make sure we get all the facts, but there is apparently some things that were not done in a timely manner that will affect funding of programs.
Okay. Any more committee reports?
Yeah.
Building and grounds, we did meet. There's two or three items that we discussed. Again, our concern is on the use of the elevator, when it would be functional. I got an email yesterday from Wim, and he had talked to yesterday Doug Patton of Cleavers, and they both feel very confident the elevator will be in service by the 1st of June. Did you hear that?
Heard that.
Did you hear that?
I don't believe it, but I heard it.
Yeah. Well, so he said we believe the elevator will be ready by mid-May, which would give them, county attorney's office, third floor, time to start moving back to avoid paying rent for June. So if we have to pay rent for June, we will send a bill to Wim, the contractor.
I like that.
Okay. Anyway, that's at least some encouraging news on the elevator, because we had indicated to us Monday that all smoke and fire alarms had to be completely installed, and I'm sure that's why they're saying June, that they feel they will be completely installed before the fire marshal will sign off on the use of the elevator. We will also, hopefully, by our next building grounds meeting in 2 weeks, some kind of a quote from Cleavers as to what it would take to cost to fill the hole on the south side of. Used to be a door there that used to come into where the vehicle motors department went into. There's no awning over it. Now that's going to be a problem for us for in case we get a heavy rain. So they'll have some estimate of what it would cost to fill that up, to grade everything away, so we don't have that problem once we get done. Also, the windows for the EOC, we had that $98,000 grant, and we hope to have some cost involved with that. We can possibly proceed with that energy grant or the stimulus money, whatever the case would be on that. I think that's all I have for building grounds this year.
Okay. Anything else on committee reports? I would like a motion to go into executive session to give you a brief update on the union negotiations and any litigation that may be relative to a real estate. So,
I move we go into executive session for those reasons.
Moved by Barnard, seconded by Anderson. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 in favor. There'll be no action when we come out. It's just I'm going to.
That was a big thing.
Motion has been made by Barnard. Was that right?
Oh, when we started, yeah.
To come out of executive session.
Second. Yeah, I'll do that, yeah.
And seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
Vote 6-0 in favor. Anything else for the good of the order? Meeting adjourned. Yeah, 10:59. 49.
Randy, what's your quickest way?